This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Access all areas with Lizzie Cundy and Stephen Leng on FUBAR Radio.
Radio. Me, Lizzie Cundy.
And me, Stephen Leng.
I'm back.
You're back. Thank goodness.
Back, fully clothed. I'm ready for action.
I wouldn't say fully. I mean, let's not push it. But. So we had Kate Randall in for you last week. She did a stellar job. Her first radio presenting.
And she's not taking my place.
Not taking your place. You are here.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness I'm here and well and safe, actually. And we have to start the show with saying our love and thoughts with all the families that have, you know, been involved in this terrible, terrible terrorist attack at Westminster and lives lost, people terribly injured. Mm-hmm. What a absolute, you just couldn't make it up, could you?
No.
Just absolutely shocking.
I was in the newsroom yesterday. Yeah. Okay, we share the newsroom with Daily Star and Daily Express.
Gosh.
And as you can imagine, it was all a bit of a
mad panic.
Yeah, a bit of a mad panic when it happened. So it kind of kicked off at about 2:45.
Yeah.
And then, everyone's confused about exactly what was going on. Was it multiple attacks? Was it one? You know what I mean? The whole car and then Parliament. Yeah, so it's been a busy 24 hours in the newsroom.
Well, I was waiting in the reception of ITV, watching Judge Rinder, actually.
Oh.
And Mary Nightingale, it kind of flashed on. There's, you know, when this program's interrupted,
yeah.
I thought something really bad's happened.
Yeah.
But then obviously I'm that side of the river.
Yeah, so for those that, explain the positioning if you're...
Well, I mean, for those that don't know London, it's right by the London Eye, ITV Studios is mm-hmm. really just beside it, basically, along that road. And it was... Westminster is just practically opposite over the bridge, and
you can see it,
and everything was just closed off. It was so frightening because everyone is thinking, my goodness. And I did go through my head, would they attack? ITV. You just don't know. You start to panic, obviously.
Of course.
But it, absolutely horrific. And, oh, God, I just can't imagine what those poor people who are walking over that bridge when you see a car coming at you. What? I mean, you haven't even time to think, have you?
It's no, just definitely. Awful. And obviously, the first person that they confirmed was Keith Palmer, the PC who was at Palace of Westminster. The whole thing has been... horrendous, and obviously like you said, our thoughts go to those who are involved.
And can I just say, I am very proud to be British, because the way we coped and the way that the police force, the ambulance service, their quick thinking, their bravery was, I mean, that saved lives in itself. I can't believe how quickly they acted and under those horrific circumstances. And they had one of the ambulance men actually saying they didn't know what had happened. They just knew it was. They thought it was initially a car gone on the pavement. It was just an accident. And then when they saw this, you know, how horrific it was, and they instantly knew it was a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept calm. They just, you know, and the kindness of people helping each other on the bridge. You know, in the papers today, something else.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously a lot of the people that have been injured were tourists, because that's a real tourist area, isn't it? With many people who come to visit London want to go visit the Big Ben and
lovely stories of the kids singing and everyone trying to keep that, you know.
Yeah.
Keep strong.
But that does bring me on to something which was a little bit unfortunate to say. I don't know if you saw what Katie Hopkins was saying.
Oh, don't, please. I haven't seen.
Well, I wanted to gauge your opinion, because she said that that London is a city that is scared, that is cowed, that we are nervous about what's going to happen next. And actually, I have to say that she was saying on Fox News, so
she's trying to
she knows her audience. But I have to say, I was actually quite shocked by that, because I thought that's actually definitely not what the case is at all. No, I don't know anyone that's changed what they're doing. Or
I last night, obviously I was in London, my mum's first to call me, said get home, just whatever you do, just get home. Mm-hmm. You know, she's worried, get home to the boys. And I said, you know what, no, I'm going to get my motorbike outfit on, bra on, my red bra. That was pictured today. No, but I thought, no, I'm out. I've got plans. I'm not. That's what they want you to do. Yeah. They want you to stop doing what you would normally do and live
to be scared.
Life. They want you to be afraid, of course, and scared. There's not, you know.
So, what do you think about what Katie Hopkins said?
I think it's appalling, actually, and I know Katie very well, and I sometimes do believe, because I actually think she's a nice person under there, because I do know her.
I agree. The couple of times I've interviewed her, she has been nothing like the personality you see on Fox News.
And I've done a TV show with her. She was so, of all the people I was on this show with, she was the kindest to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a soft heart there, and I don't believe she really means that.
No,
because
me neither.
As a city, I love this city so much, and we are so strong and resilient. And I know everyone got back to work today, jumped on the train, you know, as normal. Life continues. They're not going to stop us. Evil won't win. And that's how we are.
Well, London has been doing this for a long, long time.
Yeah, we had the IRA attacks.
The Blitz, you know what I mean, the IRA.
Exactly.
The various attacks, the Islamic attacks.
I got held up in an IRA bombing that was at Liverpool Street. And I was doing a big photo shoot for a car that was in the middle of the station. Can you believe it? When this bomb went off.
Whoa, really?
Yes. This is a true story. You'll read it in my book. But I had been out the night before, a bit naughty. I was quite young.
Quite hungover.
And I was on my break, and I had a little sleep in the back of the car, and I didn't realise this police was always like, get out, because they used to do the warnings.
You thought it was all part of the act or something?
I was like, what? It's just part of the advert. And they used to give you like a bit of a warning, the IRA, there's a bomb going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you could time to get out. But I was really there in the centre of it. And it was very, very frightening. I'll never forget it. I mean, I was only 17. But
that proves the point, right? London has been doing this for years. It will not be changed by...
Exactly. And it didn't stop me going on the tube.
Nope.
Didn't stop me
going to
London.
Although I don't know if you get in the tube anymore, do you?
I don't really get the tube anymore. Not in this outfit I'm wearing tonight.
No, that's true.
But I have to say, listen, Londoners, love you. Love this city. Mm-hmm. They're not going to win.
They will
okay?
not.
And we're going to continue life as normal. But obviously, all our love and thoughts to all those that were hurt, injured, involved. And, you know, to our policemen and servicemen. Mm-hmm. I mean, how incredible.
I agree.
And obviously...
The quick responses were very
impressive.
Love and
thoughts for those that actually lost their lives. A very sad story about the mum on the school run.
Yeah.
That really got me today.
Yeah, I bet.
And the girl going over the bridge that got hit.
Doesn't even bear thinking about. Yeah,
she survived,
and apparently her husband is in a critical condition too. The whole thing is just a horrible mess, but it does not change who we are as people. That's what I want to say.
I'm glad Theresa May did her. I thought she was very good on the political front.
Yeah,
I thought she was brilliant, and the amazing MP that tried to save the life,
Tobias Elwood,
wow.
Bournemouth East.
Wow. What?
Yeah,
that was incredible.
Was incredible. So he tried to save the life of Keith.
Yes, very sadly, unfortunately, you know, he didn't make it. But he was running towards the trouble, mm-hmm. whereas everyone would initially run away.
Of course.
What I find weird is that people do stop to video, because if you were caught up in that, you'd just run for your life. But people actually stop to take video on their phones, which is great, you know, because you get to see it was all on
what
Sky
really
News.
Happened. Yeah. Well, you're talking about one of the. Probably the highest density of tourists in the whole of the UK. Mm. You know, it's pretty much, I would say, 90% tourists around there, you know. So, of course, they're all going to have their cameras out and going as it happens. So.
Yeah.
But we have a show to do.
We do have a show to do. And life goes on.
It certainly does. So let's get it let's
we
get on.
We will
with
not
it.
Be beaten.
We will not.
No, we
so
won't.
So who's coming up today?
Do you know what? I love this woman, Karen. Danzak.
Karen Danzak, fab.
I adore her. She's actually a real inspiration to me, and I am so delighted she's on FUBA.
Why is she an inspiration to you?
Because she has been through so much in her life, and she was very, very brave in coming out and saying what her brother had raped her and her own brother, and she lived with this. And she very bravely waived her right to anonymity and to talk about it, and... this happened from her age, from 9 to 11, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so brave. And she's been on various shows like Loose Women. And I just thought, how courageous is that? I just don't know how she found the courage to talk so openly.
Definitely.
And I just love everything about her.
And she's got a book coming out.
Yeah. Ah, fantastic.
But also someone with a book out is your friend who we have on at 7 o'clock.
Well, a very good friend of mine is Kate Garraway. Big Knickers.
Love her.
Big Knickers,
Kate Garraway.
Nothing wrong with big knickers. Not that I wear them very often.
No, I don't think you do.
I'm going to try and get into big knickers.
Well, let's find out from Kate about how you can do that.
I've actually got the book. I've actually read the book.
Oh, yeah?
So it's very, very funny.
So, yeah, she's also a presenter of Good Morning Britain. She's been on morning television for as long as I can remember. So
my boys love Kate Garraway. They love her hair. She's got the best hair.
She's funny as
and
well.
And she's got a very funny husband, Derek.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I have one experience with Kate Garraway, and that was her coming up to me at an award... No, at a concert in Hyde Park, where also Prince Harry was there, saying to me, are those the girls from TOWIE? And I was like, Kate, you're the entertainment editor at GMTV. You really should know these things.
I love that.
As she spoke to Sam Fares. So, yeah, we got lots to speak to her about. And also the fact that she put her husband in hospital after some sex.
Yeah, she had to have sex with him every day.
But then he ended up in hospital. So
I love Derek. Derek is hilarious. Well. I wish Derek would be on the radio too.
Maybe we can find out.
We'll find out.
But we also have, finally to wind up the show, John Galea talking about his new single. So that's exciting.
Oh, I love it. So okay, we have got a very, very busy... And it's also, there's been loads on showbiz as well.
Loads on showbiz. So should we play a little track? And
can
then
we play
we'll
one of my favourites?
Oh, you say this every week, Lizzie, and I don't know what
Come
you
on.
Mean. What do you mean? What do you want?
I think we need something to liven us all up.
What about a bit of the new Step song?
Oh, I'm so excited. Do you know Claire Richards has agreed to come in?
Yeah. Why is she not here now?
Because they're doing a new...
She's busy.
Okay. They're rehearsing, darling.
Okay, fine. So should we play a bit of Steps?
Yeah.
And then we'll do some more showbiz gossip.
Yes, please.
What you can see can hurt you, they say. But I've been blind too many times before. Never see it coming your way. Shadows and secrets hide. Give me the bright lights of the dance floor to shine inside this broken heart of mine. The way you move, I'm forgetting all the ghosts in my mind. Just say your mind and stay.
Get enough.
Right, Claire, I was with her. She never mentioned it. She kept it all quiet. I was with her at a wedding. She was saying, I don't want to sing. I'm nervous. I haven't done it for ages. Little did I know, she's doing
a whole album.
Reunion. kept it stum.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to meeting her if she can come into the studio.
She is coming
in. Get her in.
She's coming in the flesh.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
Well, I'm excited to meet her. She's like Rylan Clark's best friend as well. Do you know what I mean? How cool is that?
She's my best friend. Well, Forget Rylan. Anyway, what a week of news. Showbiz.
It's been a busy week of showbiz news. I have to say, despite the serious news that's been going on, there's been plenty of hijinks too. Have you heard about Mel B filing for divorce?
Of course.
From Stephen Belafonte. 10 years they've been together.
He killed a duck.
He did kill a duck.
A mallard.
He killed a duck with a brick. Why do people not talk about this more often?
I don't know, but I thought that was the most appalling.
Me too.
He's quackers. No, he really, that annoyed me.
Yeah, because he's obviously an arsehole.
I mean, who would kill a duck?
Right.
He likes pancakes with sauce, with a bit of cucumber and trying to roll it up.
Oh, okay, I got that. Okay, that took me a minute. Got it. So, they've been together 10 years. Her father has just died.
Yeah.
And she's been estranged from her family, her mother and her sister Danielle, for a long time.
Yes. They had a falling out. from what I believe, Stephen didn't like them, quite jealous. I feel influenced Mel quite a bit.
Yes. We don't know for sure, but
I'm friends with Mel, but I know Danielle very well, as well as the mum. And, I mean, obviously, they were totally pushed out of Mel's life. And even when, on The X Factor, do you remember that fateful night when she didn't show, and there were loads of rumours, what's gone on?
So, for those that don't remember, it was the final. It was The X Factor final.
Yes.
2014. And maybe 15. And she suddenly didn't turn up.
She didn't turn up, and
there were lots of rumours spread around about what exactly had happened.
And hospital, you know, she was in hospital.
Something about
that. The family were ringing around. They got, you know, no one could get hold of Mel. It was a very, very scary time. And then she appeared, and she looked kind of like, people were saying she looked like not herself.
It looked like she looked a little bit bruised and scratched, and that, and people were saying it was never confirmed, so no one ever actually knew. Yeah,
but he is a very strong character. Mm-hmm. He actually stood up for someone for me. You know Piers Allardyce, he's an okay magazine photographer.
Yes.
And this night, he said, take a picture of me. And he thought my dress had slipped and then the guy was going to use the picture. He got poor Piers up against a wall saying, give me the picture. Go mad. I was like, no, I like that picture. Leave it in. But he was absolutely wild.
Really?
Yeah. He's a very strong character.
Yeah. So he's previously been done for hitting his girlfriend before Mel.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going on? It's definitely a complicated situation. I will be very happy to hear if Mel gets back in touch with her family.
Well, I think they do. I think they have. And from what I know, they have definitely since the father, I know it's sad that their father's death sort of brought them together, but that's how it has happened.
But sometimes it takes extreme events.
Exactly. And I think they showed the picture with Danielle and herself holding dad's hand as he was passing away, and it was very sort of poignant. And I think, I hope and pray they've all got back together. And I know Mel's mum was absolutely distraught
I
not
bet.
Seeing her.
Yeah, I bet.
And the grandchildren, you know, she's got Phoenix and the other one, you know, she's got family.
And the other ones, you can't remember.
Can't remember the name, sorry.
Madison. And another one.
Yeah. But she's had quite a hectic love life when you look back with the dancer Jimmy and then Eddie Murphy.
Well, then she was Mel G. Jimmy Gulzar.
I like that, Jimmy.
What happened to him? Jimmy, if you're listening,
come on the show. Tell us your side.
We'd like to hear about what you're up to now.
I like Jimmy, but Eddie Murphy, that was quite controversial, wasn't
Eddie
it?
Murphy, that was when Mel was a bottle blonde.
Yeah.
I mean, she's
but
gone
she
to...
likes the other side of the life. She likes to drink from the fairy cup. She does. She said she likes the girls.
She does like girls too, and that's long been a rumour and something she's talked about. So,
well, nothing wrong with that.
I think
I might have to go that way. I might have to go that way if my love life doesn't pick up.
I can't imagine you with a woman.
No, I can't.
Maybe like a kind of strong, kind of authoritarian woman. Jodie Marsh?
No. Oh, my God. Can't think of anything worse. No, I like men. Sorry.
What
to
about
disappoint.
What about Jodie Marsh with a strap on? No.
That's really awful thought. She's very muscly now.
Yeah, but that's a good thing, right? If you like men. No.
Not really. Thanks.
Okay, fine.
Is that okay?
That's absolutely fine. No.
No.
That's,
well, who knows? You don't
who does know?
I might become a nun. I've decided.
What, didn't this nearly happen when you were a youngster?
Yeah, I did nearly become a nun.
I was brought up
with nuns in a convent school with Patsy Kensett, who's also going to come on our show. I spoke to her today.
Okay.
And me and Pats, we, so if ever there was...
Wait, were you in the same like year? Yeah. Or like, oh, okay.
But yes. And we used to have fun because if there was ever a man in the school, like a builder or fixing the roof or something, I thought, oh, we'd go wild. Like, there's a man in the building. It was really sad.
So something's
like
haven't changed.
It's like we were starved.
I think that's basically what you and what you and Patsy would do now, wouldn't you?
Made us perverts because we couldn't ever see a guy. Honestly, it's terrible. It's true.
And I would literally pay money to see a film version of you and Patsy Kensett in a nunnery.
Yeah, but she was always doing the. She was doing loads of TV work. She was always skiving off because she'd do the Peas Pod advert and...
Peas
other stuff. She did the Peas ad. You know, we did the little... Do you not remember it?
No!
You have to look it up.
I was born in 1985.
Yeah, but you look it up. It's famous. Oh, okay. And don't forget, watch me on Saturday night. Talking of famous people.
Okay.
Saturday night, 9 o'clock, 5 o'clock. No, 5, Channel 5. Sorry. Channel 5, 9 o'clock. You can watch me Saturday
what is
night.
It?
It's a very funny show. Watch and find out.
Okay, fine. Mm. I'll be out on Saturday night. But
so will I, but please watch.
But for those of you that aren't, please watch.
Please watch.
Now, there has also been some other news going on this week.
Oh, gosh, what?
Now, you know I'm a big Eurovision fan.
Oh.
You know I'm a big Eurovision fan?
I never. Yes.
So, have you heard, the first time in Eurovision's history, a country has banned another country from coming to the Eurovision Song Contest?
Who?
So, you know there's a bit of beef between the Ukraine and Russia?
Yes.
Well... Russia have sent an act, Yulia Samoylova.
No.
And she did a song called Flame is Burning.
Yes.
And she's in a wheelchair. She's, you know, she's a paraplegic, I think. But 2 years ago, she went to Crimea, which is a disputed territory now between the Ukraine and Russia. Russia annexed it, blah, blah, blah. As such... The Ukraine has decided that it is illegal for her to come.
What?
Into the country.
No.
And she may have to perform via satellite link from Russia.
That's incredible. Actually, that...
What do you think? What do you think about this? Do you think it's right to bring politics into Eurovision?
It's always been about politics, hasn't it?
I agree.
Always. That's why we get nil point. From the French, from people that are cheesed off with us. God, the whole of Europe will hate us this time
around.
Yeah,
we're going to get 0 points.
Now with Brexit.
But what do you think? Because obviously the situation between Ukraine and Russia is actually a serious one. People are dying in the east of Ukraine. It's actually quite serious. So their reasoning is that if she's been to this disputed territory, why should she... This is law. This is Ukrainian law. You cannot come into the Ukraine if you've been there. So... Russia would have known that when they signed her up to send it. Do you think it's some kind of...
It's obviously to get a big sort of like sympathy vote and then cause a bit of ruckus and trouble. And it's already been talked about, so it's working.
Correct. And there's also been, and this is something that's
I bet she's a bit gutted. She's been used as a...
Well, she's actually quite a successful singer in Russia. She's performed...
Is she as successful as Kristina Reinoff?
The Strictly dancer.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
She's the most famous Russian
in the world,
apart from Putin.
Apart from maybe Putin. Apart from
anyway, yes.
But there's also been claims by some Eurovision fans that they're sending a woman in a wheelchair because people won't boo her.
Ooh.
And Russia are always getting booed.
Oh, that's a bit low.
Do you think? Don't you think it's a really complicated situation?
It's very complex. This is going to run this because everyone's going to have a point of view on it. But
yeah,
it's tricky. I can't believe they do that, would they?
What, Russia?
Yeah. Well, they've done some really low things, let's be honest. But, wow.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think it's fair? Do you think it's fair they ban her because it's law in the Ukraine?
No, I don't think it's... It's the Eurovision. There should be no laws.
Okay.
No, Eurovision. Everyone's got to sing on stage. You can't have someone on a satellite thing. You could do it for me in my home, on my front room, with my hairbrush. Please let me do Eurovision next year. I want to do it.
Lizzie, you've been talking... Every time I bring up Eurovision,
you
mention...
No, but the MP that went out with this cheeky girls rang me the other night.
Lembit Opik.
Lembit, that's it. And
if he rang you, you should know his name.
I know.
Lembit.
Sorry, I've got him down as MP with cheeky girls. That's what he's down on my phone as. And he wants to do a song with me for the Eurovision. He can play the guitar.
It's not going to happen.
I'm good on the flute, on the fiddle. It could be quite fun.
You're not playing the fiddle in front of a billion people.
No, I think I've been in a musical. I'm good. You don't have faith in me. Right. I had a sellout theatre West End show more than some others have done.
You're fuming. But shall we get on with the show now?
Could we?
So we've decided we're not sure about what's happening in Russia. Okay, fine. Russia, Ukraine.
No, I don't think we know what is going on there. But I think she has to come sing on stage like the rest of us. Or else it is not fair. And it's not fair on the voting system. She has to be on the stage. Okay?
Okay.
That's the rules.
Done. Do you play one more song and then we'll get Karen on the phone?
We've got lovely Karen coming on. Yes.
Yeah? How about that?
Yes.
I do my makeup in somebody else's car. We order different drinks at the same bars. I know about what you did and I wanna scream the truth. She thinks you love the beach, you're such a damn liar. Well, those great whites, they have big teeth. Well, they bite you, that you said that you would always be in love. But you're not in love no more. Did it frighten you how we kissed when we danced on the light of floor? On the light of floor. But I hear sounds in my mind. Brand new sounds in my mind. But honey, I'll be seeing you. Up in a different bedroom, I whisper things, the city sings them back to you. Well, those rumors, they have big teeth. Oh, they bite you. Thought you said that you would always be in love, but you're not in love no more. Did it frighten you how we kissed when we danced on the light up floor? But I hear sounds in my mind. Brand new sounds in my mind. But honey, I'll be seeing you. But honey, I'll be seeing you down everywhere.
rest of that song?
I don't like it.
What are you talking about, Candy?
I'm sorry.
What is
wrong
with you?
Get me Justin Bieber on. Next one. My
turn. All
right,
fine. We'll line up some Justin Bieber. But first, we have our first guest on the line.
I love this woman.
Karen Danzak, are you there?
Lovely Karen. How are you, Karen?
I'm full of a cold, but apart from that, I'm grand.
Me too. Welcome to the club.
I'm well. I'm healthy. I'm the only one that hasn't got full of cold.
It's great. A simple cold just creates so many problems.
I know.
It just floors you.
Bless your heart. But Karen, thank you so much for coming on FUBA. You know I support you. I think you are one of the most inspirational girls about.
Thank you.
And I hear you've got a book. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm writing a book, but it's a fictional book, so it's not like an autobiography, it's a fictional book.
Boo.
And I'm really excited. No, it's a lot. I'm biased, obviously, because I'm writing it, but I really like the storyline, so hopefully everyone will like it.
Mm.
Oh, wow, that's exciting. Did you want to, have always wanted to do this, Karen?
I have always wanted to write my own book, and I've been working on it for a few years now, and then there was like some interest, and now it's a little bit more real, and it's like, trying to type to deadlines. It's much harder than just casually writing it when you want to write it.
I can imagine. I've been asked to do a book about my life, and I'm so worried about it. Can I take it out? I think I'd rather write a fictional one.
Yeah, and I think I'd be much more nervous if it's an autobiography.
Exactly. But Karen, you have really been through it. Obviously, I was talking earlier about you, about how amazingly brave you were talking about what happened with your brother between, you know, such a young age, from the ages of 9, I think, to 12.
Yeah.
And really encouraging other survivors of sexual abuse to speak out, really. And
yeah.
You were fantastic.
Oh, thank you. And I like to think that, I think that the one thing that certainly victims or some people like to be called survivors, they have it in their own mindset that it's their fault. And that's like the biggest thing that I kind of wanted to, you know, let them see that it isn't your fault. And it's a really difficult mentality to change. But you really, you know, if anyone's listening now who's, you know, going through anything similar or has done, then they really need to know it's nothing that they have done themselves. Mm. And, you know, so that's why I kind of, I thought, you read so many horror stories, but there's never anyone in the public eye who actually comes out and, you know, admits. Because, you know, it's embarrassing as well. It's not just, I find it shameful. It's not nice, you know, necessarily me talking about it. I am embarrassed by it all. But then at the same time, I think, there's almost a duty there. Yeah, and I need to show people it's not their fault and they need to just come out and try and get on with their lives.
Exactly. And you really are helping people. I saw you on a few times on Loose Women and I was brought to tears, Karen. I was watching you. I just thought, wow, the strength you had to speak. I know how tough that was for you.
Yes, it was. It was really hard. And I think the first time after the trial when I spoke about it, I probably just cried for the 30 minutes I was there. But it was, I think as each day goes, it actually becomes easier. And if you would have spoke to me 6 weeks ago, I probably was in a worse place than where I am now. And each day genuinely does get easier. So that's quite nice now.
Yeah, and you really have helped so many with it. I can't tell you, Karen. And do you feel though, you know, are we moving on there? Do you feel people are coming out and being able to talk about it? Do you think we've moved on and we are actually, instead of being embarrassed and keeping quiet about it, saying, you know what, this isn't right? Do you think the message is getting across?
I think so. We're the very old generation. So I've had thousands of messages. And the more older generation aren't coming out so much. They generally feel that they want to tell someone, but they don't want to come out and, you know, create the bomb that it does create, unfortunately. So the older generation necessarily aren't coming out, but they're talking about it, but they won't go to the police about it. The slightly younger generation, more to my age, are now starting to realise, actually, this isn't my fault. And the one thing to remember is that if you go through this, you can't live a normal life. You can't just put it in a box at the back of your mind and live a day-to-day life, because you have insecurities in your life that surround and stem from what you went through. So this is why I urge people. I think a lot of what I did with crazy selfies and you know, trying to seek approval, trying to be a woman that, you know, men wanted in the correct circumstance. That was just a cry for help. It wasn't because I was this overconfident woman. I was just trying to be normal. And psychologically, I just wasn't normal.
But you were known for the selfies. I used to enjoy the selfies.
They were good. They were good. Obviously.
You know what? It'd be strange. No, sorry. I'd be too shy to do them now because people say, where are you selfies? And actually, I'm quite shy now. I think because I am in the same mindset. I'm actually quite shy and I don't think but I'm going away in May. So maybe in May, I might maybe plug up a bit of courage. Yeah.
The selfie return. The selfie queen return.
Possibly.
Obviously, there was a little bit of controversy recently about what you said about the McCanns. How did you feel about how people reacted to what you said? You basically said on Twitter that no one seems to call out the fact that they left their children alone.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the reaction to that?
Well, actually, the general reaction, I would say 90% was in complete agreement. And I was actually quite nervous. And I think this is the thing as well. So many people have an opinion, but they're scared to talk about their opinion because they're scared of maybe a backlash. And I don't say things because I want some kind of attention there. It's because I genuinely feel that's what I feel. And I know that if this was a man and a woman from a council estate, you know, and I'll make reference to a town up north because that's where I'm from, and they went out and left, you know, three children under the age of four to go out to a restaurant, and it would have been treated completely different. And it's a class society that we still have, that it's not classed as neglect in one instance, but if you come from this council estate, or if you're just a working class person, then that would be classed as neglect. And I was just highlighting that I just cannot get my head around how someone can do that. I mean, I would never do that. And, you know, I mean, everyone is in agreement. We all want Maddie to come home. You know, there isn't anyone who doesn't want that. And I hope one day she is found. But at the same time, and this was in reference to a story that they came out about Karen Matthews, and they said, she used those for publicity. Well, I was just highlighting, well, actually, now you're using the poor Shannon Matthews case to publicise yourself. And I was just kind of highlighting that. It's a bit, Shannon Matthews wants to live a normal life. She doesn't want all of this storytelling for her. No. And so I was just kind of highlighting that side of it. And then it escalated to that tweet because someone said, feel for the poor parents. And I was like, well, hang on a minute. They did leave these three children at the age of four. So let's not forget that.
And I know it's been all very controversial. And Piers Morgan had a big row about it, I think, with you on Good Morning Britain. But just the fact that so much money's been ploughed into it, and there are so many more missing children out there, and so much money's been put into this.
Exactly. Well, you've got the Needham case, and they've only received to date around about £800,000. And then when you put that in contrast to, you know, another case that's received nearly £12 million, you look at the parents, you look at the circumstances, and, you know, questions will be asked. And some people will say it's not really your place to question this, but I would argue it is my place or anyone's place, because it's taxpayers' money that's paying for it. You know, and I do think there has to be a certain level of scrutiny, like there would be scrutiny with the NHS or even MPs themselves. We all have an opinion and can scrutinise it, because ultimately it's our money that's paying for these things.
Yeah, of course. And obviously, I wanted to get your thoughts on what's happened at Westminster recently. I guess you've probably had a personal experience of the House of Parliament before. What do you make of what happened there?
Gosh, I mean, it's just horrific. I mean, I've spent a lot of different occasions for many years going into the Parliament building, and I didn't want to put this on Twitter, but I have to say that the barrier in question, it really, really, I don't think was, you know, secure enough. And it's easy to say now in hindsight, like, oh, they should have done this and they should have done that. But it does, you know, pose the question, should more officers have a simple handgun in their hands? Because if they did have a handgun in their hands, then they're not just waving their arms trying to stop a lunatic. They can shoot him down.
Exactly.
And they have to wait for the more professional or hierarchy police to come with machine guns to sort the situation out. But if you're thinking you've got a man on the front you know, wall of guarding Parliament, and he doesn't have a single weapon. What kind of message does that send out?
Like you a sitting duck, really, had no chance. I mean,
he had no chance. I mean, instincts. I mean, these are always, if you've got someone coming at you, you know, I understand he's instantly wanted to try and save people, and that, you know, that's so honourable on his part. But the poor man, he didn't have any chance. He really had no chance with it. So I think, and with the bridge as well, I think questions need to be asked, like, why wasn't the bollards on the bridge or something to stop a car going down there? I mean, we've seen it so recent with all the terrorist attacks. They're all going in wagons or in cars and mowing down people. You know, I think maybe London Borough now needs to be putting some bollards up on as many footpaths as they can to stop cars mounting the pavement.
But the argument against that would be that it's infringing on on the normal day-to-day life of people that are just walking around there. You know, these things happen very rarely, and it's not... It's should you infringe on all of those people because of this one madman? This is the first time this happened in, what, 20 years, anything at Parliament?
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that, but at the same time, is it not worth that life? I wouldn't mind walking across. I was only there a couple of weeks ago walking across that bridge, and I wouldn't mind if there was them black steel. I'm not talking concrete ones. I'm talking about those just black steel ones that we have, you know, you have them dotted around everywhere. Just a few, even if it's, you know, once in every gap or something, it doesn't have to be too intrusive. But I think ultimately people want to be safe. And, you know, there's many people saying, exactly, but I do feel scared. I'm not one of these people that are saying that I've woken up today and the sun's shining and everything's great in London. I'm back in London in a few days and I'm nervous. I'm so scared. I'm not one of these people that tries to be more positive. I'm not positive. I'm more realistic and probably worry too much. But I'm nervous about that. My boys spend a lot of time in London with their dad, and I'm scared for them going to London. I don't want them to go, but I can't stop them. So little things will help.
And it could happen anywhere, like they said. If it could happen in Manchester, Birmingham, and maybe the police wouldn't be... We were lucky that the police were there and equipped, and, you know, thought so quickly on their feet.
Exactly. And I just think, I think there needs to be serious talks about the possible threats as well. I think we're not talking enough on it. I mean, I've got 1,000 ideas what I think terrorists might do, which obviously I won't talk about now. And I think, well, if I'm thinking this, then the terrorists are probably thinking this. Because all they want to do is create pain and hurt for people. That's their ultimate objective, and they want to kill as many as they can. And I'm constantly thinking, well, maybe we should do this. Or, and I know you could say we should try and live our life in a normal way, but we can't when we've got these lunatics on the loose. We just can't live in that world anymore.
I mean, can I ask, I don't know whether you heard Katie Hopkins speak, Karen, on Fox News, and your thoughts, where she said, you know, London is afraid. She was quite outspoken on the events of what happened.
Yeah, she was quite outspoken.
As Katie does.
Probably not as extreme as her views on it. I think if you've got people that are saying, I've woke up today and I'm absolutely fine and I'm not worried, then I think they're probably telling a little white lie, because we've all got a little bit of fear. It's in our nature. Everyone's going to have a little bit of fear, but we're all scared to say that we have fear, because then we think that we're playing to the terrorists. So I understand why people are trying to act unite and act like it's, you know, London can carry on and we can be united. Yes, we can be united, but let's also keep the fear factor there. Let's not be so naive where we're wandering around like nothing's going to happen again, when it could strike again now. It could strike anywhere in the country. Everyone's focused on London. It could strike in Manchester tonight, because everyone's focused on London. We need to be wary of that. We need to keep the fear factor there.
Yes, very true. I agree with everything you say, Karen. I actually love you, Karen. I agree with everything you say. And I do take a selfie. Not as good as you, though, I wish.
No, your pictures are amazing. Yeah.
Well, look, Karen, I hope I do see you soon in the flesh. I'd love to see you, darling, and have a catch-up. But we love you here at Football Radio. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Enjoy your reading.
Oh, and I have to say, I've heard, is this true, you could be on the special series of Bear Grylls, Survival. Is that correct, my dear?
We'll have to watch this space.
Oh, you are brave if you go on that, let me tell you.
No, brave or stupid.
All right, Di, well, good luck, and best luck with the book as well. Can't wait.
Thank you. Okay, see you soon.
Lots of love.
Thanks so much, Karen.
Bye, darling.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I like Karen.
Right? She's nice.
I love her.
She gets a bit of a rep, but I actually think she's a nice woman.
I think she's a lovely woman.
Now, you asked for a bit of Justin Bieber earlier, didn't you?
Please.
I don't know if it's the exact one you want, but how do you feel about What Do You Mean?
I like the other one. Sorry.
Well, this is honest. The one you're getting. Okay. This is the one you're getting.
Not the one I want, though.
Don't roll your eyes at me, Candy.
It's not the one I want. I want the other.
We can have this one for now.
What do you mean? Make up your heart. Don't know if you're happy or complaining. Don't want for us to win. Where do I start? First you wanna go to the left, then you wanna turn right. Wanna argue all day, making love all night. First you're up, then you're down, and in between. Oh, I really wanna know, what do you mean? Said you're running out of time, what do you mean? Oh, 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 what do you mean? Better make up your mind, what do you mean? Y'all were protective when I'm leaving. Trying to compromise, but I can't win. You wanna make a point, but you keep preaching. You had me from the start, won't let this end. First you wanna go to the left, then you wanna turn right. Make a love all night. First you're up, then you're down, and in between. Oh, I really wanna know, what do you mean? Up your mind, what do you mean?
Sorry, Abby put something for me to read on the shared screen, which is the man with a 20-inch
right,
penis.
Abby, so you shouldn't be joining in with this sort of stuff.
Yeah, look at that.
There you go.
Well, what's all the wrapping around it?
It was bandaged. It's too heavy to stay on, probably. It has to be bandaged to keep it on.
Can I quote back to you what you've just said?
Sorry, yeah.
And Julie just said it. The man's penis is too heavy to stay on, so they bandage it. Tell you now, the reason is not because it's too heavy to stay on. What is going on in this place?
Every Monday, Ian Bolesworth. From 2 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, when you're looking at the sun, not a fool. No, you're not fooling anyone.
That's your favourite song, Lizzie, isn't it?
It is, actually. I really love that. Be the one.
What is it you like about it?
I don't know. I just want to be the one, that's all.
To who?
I'm not sure yet.
Who's one?
Not sure who the lucky chap is.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know yet. It's spring, though. Spring's in the air.
I have to say, you know what happens this weekend?
Rabbits come out. The little rabbits stop.
No, the clocks
about.
Go for
oh,
the
yeah,
clocks change.
I love that.
So we're going to have nice light evenings when we leave the studio
we
on
have
a
little
Thursday.
Drinks.
Have a little drink outside.
Oh, I love that.
I love the summer.
I love the summer. I can't wait to get the heat. I need some heat on my body.
Me too.
Some.
Me too. I mean,
I need to go away.
To be honest, we were only away, both of us, like 2 months ago. So
I know. I really need some sun, though. I feel a bit like I need to get out of here.
Me too. But that's probably my cold. So.
Yeah, you are a bit. Can I hat the train to Malcolm?
Thank you very much,
anyway,
Cundy.
Listen,
I am aware.
Just do not give me your lurgies. I'm feeling well and fit at the minute.
Have you seen, this is a bit of a random one actually, a bit of a left field one. Have you seen pictures of Kesha recently?
No, I haven't.
Have you not?
No. Can you show me?
So, you remember Kesha?
Yes.
Don't stop, make it rock, DJ blow the speakers up.
I quite liked it.
Kesha. So she's been involved in quite a long legal battle, hasn't she, with Dr. Luke about releasing music and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And during that, she revealed that he would put her on these like really horrendous diets and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Well, now she's just been seen out for the first time and...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She's been eating them pies. No, I'm sorry, but she has. She's obviously been enjoying life. Nothing wrong with that, by the way.
You can enjoy life and...
Cupcakes and buns.
You must have the old cupcake.
I'm not a fan of the old cupcakes. I've got a nice couple of cupcakes myself. No, I do like an odd cupcake. I'm not a huge fan.
What do you think about someone like Kesha?
Well...
She's put on a lot of weight.
But maybe she's been through a lot. I mean, she could be depressed. Or maybe she doesn't care and thinks, I don't care if I'm...
Like Kelly Clarkson style.
Yeah.
Doesn't care.
Who cares if I put on a bit?
Do you think that's what it could be?
Nothing wrong with a bit of timber.
No? Have you ever gained much weight or lost much weight in the past?
Yeah, I know I've been too thin. Mm. I went very thin when my marriage split. I was like, because I was running around and I forgot about eating.
Could you not eat?
I actually think I'm one of those people, if I am a bit stressed, I don't eat.
Right.
It just, I'm not, you know, other people tend to eat loads if they're unhappy. Mm-hmm. I go the other way.
Right.
So I think then I wasn't great. And I tend not to really be that sort of... I've not got the build to put on weight. I can eat loads. But I've got so much energy, I don't tend to put on weight.
Right.
I'm one of those people, you know, you go, ooh, I could eat. And I don't really do.
Well, I am quite jealous of that because... Well, I probably eat more than I should and drink more than I should. But, you know...
Do you?
I enjoy
really
life.
For you scoffing. But I don't like people that are greedy, that shoveling stuff in their mouth all the time. I kind of think,
no.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a...
I like you to be a bit healthy.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm not one of those that go, oh my goodness, you're having a glass of Coca-Cola and go mad.
Do you go down the gym all the time?
I try and go a bit. I do try and go a bit to the gym. I think it's important to make... It gives me more energy. If I don't exercise... I feel a bit lazy and lethargic.
Yeah.
Whereas if I go to the gym, I feel kind of like perky.
I actually agree with you, and it's something I only gathered really in the last kind of 6 months. I never used to be one for gym going until I finally got into a routine of it.
I haven't lost weight
or I've gained a bit of muscle.
Yeah. Well, what's
but I
muscle?
Actually enjoy
all
the
muscle.
Huh?
All full of muscle you are. Yeah, muscle
but,
weighs
no, but,
more.
But honestly, I feel better.
You feel better.
Apart from at the moment because I've got a cold. But like, on the whole, I feel much better if I push myself to go to the gym
and
do these things.
It just gives me more energy. And people think, oh, you're vain, you want to look good, you want to show your body off. I actually feel better if I go to the gym. I've got more energy. But I hate the guys in the gym that I stare and go, and then one guy, I was doing some sit-ups, he came right next to me doing the plank and he was really going, ooh, making weird noises. I was thinking, oh, I can't, I just started laughing. You know the big grunty noises?
I know the grunty noises. Well, that's good to
God
know.
God knows
good
what
to,
they'd be like in
but
bed.
But everyone's different, aren't they, with the old gym. Shall we get our next guest on the line?
I can't wait.
I believe Kate Garraway is on the phone now. Kate, are you there?
I am there.
Hello.
Kate
Hello.
Garraway, how are you, my dear?
I'm very well. I've had quite a dramatic day, I have to be honest. My daughter had a fall at school.
Oh.
So I spent a glorious 5 or 6 hours in A&E.
Oh, my goodness.
Is she but okay?
She's absolutely fine. But you know that thing where the school says, I think she should be checked out, at which point you think as a parent, I've got to go.
Yeah.
And then you go, and then you do it, and then you think, oh, would I have been better just to go home and see how this turned out? But you have the guilt. Anyway,
you
don't want to talk about all that.
Yeah,
I want to talk about lovely things.
That's me every Saturday at football. My son gets a kick, and they all go, oh, maybe you should go and get him checked out. I think,
I know, you feel so guilty, don't you?
I think he'll be all right.
But his leg might be hanging off, but he's got another one.
Exactly. So, Kate, firstly, congratulations with the book.
Yes.
Big Knickers.
Bless you.
I love
know
it.
The joy of Big Knickers. What a title. What a life.
But, Kate, what made you want to write Big Knickers?
You could ask what made me want to wear Big Knickers. That would be another good question. Well, I know you have to answer in less than a second. Shock, under space shock at this. I'm going to be 50 very soon.
No.
Well done. That was very quick. Good work there.
You look good.
No, and on my 49th birthday back in May 2016, I went into work at another radio station. You probably wouldn't like mentioning it. And they had really sweetly decked out the newsroom with all these balloons and a lovely cake. And it was all so sweet. And I was so chuffed. And so I realized they were all covered in 50. And I was like, oh, wow. Did you know I'm 49? And they were like, oh, that's really annoying. And I was like, it's not annoying, it's devastating. You thought I was 50. And then I thought, this is ridiculous, because actually, what's wrong with being 50? Mm. And then there's a weird moment, I think, when you suddenly have that sense of time passing and you think, crikey, McCrikey. And you suddenly notice weird, creepy skin in places you didn't think you had it. And you start thinking, gosh, I've actually got less years left on the planet that I've lived. And, you know, and you start sort of having these weird thoughts. And I thought, I could get really gloomy here if I don't tackle this head on. So I kind of tried to look at all the things that are very, very scary, like loss and death and grim ill health, and also a little bit scary in a superficial way, like getting old and looking old and all of that. And I tried to kind of tackle it and all the things that we feel about how our relationships might change over the course of the year with lots of brilliant experts and stars and lots of great mates as well, and kind of in the hope that I would feel better about it. Because I think in midlife, you're very young, but I think in midlife you do get kind of bombarded with the whole like deluge of advice. So I was hoping that I could like find out the kind of actually useful stuff and then share it with people. So that was the kind of thinking behind it.
And I
was very lucky to go to your book launch, Kate. And
you were fabulous at my book launch. You're the star of the show, obviously.
Obviously.
Looking gorgeous, entertaining everybody and just being lovely.
Well, I enjoyed chatting to your husband, Derek, who's very, very funny.
I think he's quite bewildered by the whole thing.
Does he like Big Knickers himself?
I think he's very sweet in this way that he would just go. He suddenly said halfway through, "I'm not even sure I know what Big Knickers are." And they were like, "They're the stuff that you know the girls in movies don't wear. Basically, they're the stuff that you don't choose to wear on your first day. You probably stop noticing the underwear wearer." So he was like, "Oh, okay."
Oh, he's great
he was
fun.
Great throughout the whole year, and he's good fun and supportive. But yes, I think when I was parading around with a giant pair of pink knickers, getting people like you to get in the mood, like, what on earth am I doing? Yeah.
Oh no, your launch was fantastic, Kate. But it is good. You're tackling it because an age on telly, because a lot of people say, you know, you don't see many, you know, women that are getting older on TV. And I had a great chat with Gloria Hunniford actually at the when we were at the Trick Awards, saying, you know, Lizzie, I'm so happy to still be on telly, you know, at my age. And I think it's fantastic you're doing this.
But do do you think things are changing with that? Because actually it's something with Loose Women, with Good Morning Britain, with all of these kind of, with This Morning, it's not necessarily the 22-year-olds who are fresh out of university, you know. It is people that are more experienced and know what they're talking about. Do you find that, Kate? Do you find that, think that things are changing?
Well, I think I've been, in terms of work for me, I think I've been quite lucky because of being sort of on the news side of things. You know, there's a sort of a level of experience which is needed, really, apart from anything else. And also, you know, I've been a long time now on Breakfast TV, and they've always been around me, you know, older, great-looking, nevertheless, women around me. They're not so much older than me anymore, but they've always been people around. That are, and it's not been one of those things, genuinely, in all the many crazy conversations you have in TV, in my little tiny slice of it, it's not been a conversation I've had where I felt that a judgment was being made because of age. Other people who work in different bits of TV, I think, do say that they have had experiences like that. We've all read about them in the paper, and you've probably spoken to them, you know. And so I wouldn't want to speak for anybody else, but in my court, I haven't found that. But you're right, there are some great examples around now of older women, of, you know, and actually, in a funny sort of way, though, I think sometimes what happens as well is not just in TV, but actually in all jobs, I think you can feel like when you get older that you are somehow sort of competing with younger people, because some of that is for practical reasons. Like, you know, when you're 21, you just left university, you don't have the same amount of responsibility. You just don't. You know, your responsibility is where you're going on a Friday night. And good for you, because, crikey, you need to have that freedom and that fun. And then you get older, you might have other relatives you're caring for. You've got maybe got children if you've chosen to. You've got stuff in your life. And I think sometimes maybe employers don't necessarily see you this way, but you feel like you can almost be less flexible. So so sometimes I think it's partly perception apart from anything else. And also, let's be honest, TV is all about the new, and to a certain extent, radio, it's all about the new. We're like it, aren't we? I'm like it as a viewer. You'll watch a series and you'll love it, and then you'll watch the second series and you'll think, oh, that was good. You know, those big long-running dramas that we all love.
Yeah.
And then by the third series, you think, actually, you know what, I fancy a change, and you start watching something else.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's bad, it's just that we all sort of sometimes want
like
to freshen
a chain,
up and
yes.
new, don't we?
Yes,
you know, so
it's true.
I guess it's that kind of industry as well, isn't it?
And do you feel, Kate, kind of a bit liberated? Like, you do you feel, I'm, you know what, I'm nearly 50, I want to run naked down Oxford Street, do cartwheels naked on the beach, bungee jumping?
I wouldn't inflict that on anyone, but I sort of know what you mean, that in a funny sort of way, I think what we're really lucky about, we sort of midlifers, not including you in this, but we midlifers, is that, we are, I think we're very lucky to have midlife to worry about, because so many previous generations, this time of life was the beginning of the end, if not the end. And so we have a great gift living in 2017 that we have so much great, you know, medical science around us, which allows us to enjoy a whole chunk of life that others didn't get to have.
Yeah.
And I think it is quite liberating. I guess that's kind of what the joy of being Knickers is, really, that it's a little bit saying to yourself, look, I know these big knickers aren't sexy, but they make me feel good because they smooth out my lumps and bumps. So I feel good from, you know, when I look at myself in it, not necessarily without clothes on, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And also, flipping the heck, they're comfy, and I want to enjoy life and feel comfortable with myself and with everything else, you know.
I'm going to get some, Kate, some big old knickers.
Oh my goodness. If I've converted as a country to big knickers, my work in the world is done.
I would be very...
You are so the last person who would ever wear them.
Kate, you don't want to see what I'm wearing
yeah,
today.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you see what she's wearing tonight, Kate, you might think differently. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Kate, I can't believe you're 50 nearly,
no,
honestly.
To be fair.
And I met
you. You did it brilliantly the first time. Don't over egg it.
No, but I have to say, I met your lovely mum. It's good genes because she looks amazing.
She's super glam and she's so naturally glam as well.
Beautiful.
And Derek, my husband that you met, always says, you know, that's the thing the men are supposed to do, aren't they? And so the first
check
thing
out
is,
the mother.
Is, do I like her? And then you meet the in-laws and you check out the mother and he's like, I'm so sorted. But I did point out to him that she, I don't think she's partied quite as hard and drunk as much wine as I have. So he may have been calm there, but
that's
never mind.
A point.
That is a good point. Yes. I just have one last question, Kate. How annoying is Piers Morgan really?
Oh, he's laughing and he's don't you think? I mean, you either love him or hate him.
I enjoy him, Kate.
He gets everybody going, doesn't he? And the thing is, the great thing is I know that he does rub some people up the wrong way, but I wonder if, you know, they still find themselves listening to him and watching him. And also for us working with him, you see, he's part of a big team. And so within our actual working life, we've got so many different personalities around us. It's probably not the same for when you have to watch him on the TV. But personally, I love him. I think he's great.
He's funny watching. He's great watching. As you are, my lovely Kate.
And very good.
I look forward to seeing you soon, darling. Celebrating that 50th. I can't believe it.
Yes, let's have a massive party.
Yay! I'll wear my big knickers
for
you.
You're all invited.
Yeah!
Thank you, Kate. Listen, lots of luck with the book. It is fantastic. And
it's so good to chat to you.
And Jude,
thanks
my darling. Take care.
Bye, darling.
Thanks, Kate.
Bye. Bye, Kate.
Oh, what a lovely lady. Isn't she gorgeous?
Isn't she just?
She's so nice.
So nice.
She's my boy's favourite.
Really? Yeah. Why's that?
I don't know, since they were little. My boy who's loved Kate Garraway.
I have to say, the couple of times I've met her on red carpets, she'll remember, but a couple of times I've met her on red carpets, she has been nothing but adorable.
I'm sure she will remember you,
she's
darling.
One of them. I don't think so.
She said that one that looks like Jeremy Corbyn. I remember.
Beard is not that grey, Lizzie.
No, it isn't grey, but it's big and it's bushy.
It is big and bushy.
Tickles your thighs. Anyway.
I need my boyfriend.
I like a beard. I like hairy men. I know men now wax themselves. I don't like it.
I feel like we have
and
this conversation.
And it grows up spiky. It grows back all spiky.
That's true. That's the same when I go to hug you sometimes. I get the spikes from your hairy chest.
Stop it. I'm as smooth as a baby's bottom. I cover my skin in coconut oil, just to tell you that.
Good.
So I tell you that.
Would be.
It's always really
Let's throw a
soft.
Party for coconut oil.
Thanks.
You look very good.
Thanks.
And what are you? You're only 68.
I'm looking great for 87, actually. I look bloody good.
Really
good. Got the red curtains on tonight.
Okay, should we play another little track and then have another little gossip?
I don't think I'll talk to you after this track. After that. Yes, please. Thank you.
I've been hearing symphonies before all I heard was silence. A rhapsody for you and me, and every melody is timeless. Life was stringing me along, then you came and you cut me loose. Was solo singing on my own. Now I can't find a key without you. And now your song is on repeat, and I'm dancing on to your heartbeat. And when you're gone,
Access all areas with Lizzie Cundy and Stephen Leng on FUBAR Radio.
I know I may be young, but I've got feelings too, and I need to do what I feel like doing. So let me go and just listen. All you people look at me like I'm a little girl. Well, did you ever think it'd be okay for me to step into this world? Always saying, little girl, don't step into the club. Well, I'm just trying to find out why, 'cause dancing's what I love. Yeah. I see this guy. What's practical, what's logical? What the hell, who cares? All I know is I'm so happy when you're dancing there.
Britney. Do you not love Britney?
From Britney Spears to Mary Berry.
Can I just say, make sure you watch Channel 5 Saturday night at 9 o'clock about Britney.
Oh, are you talking about Britney?
I'm talking Britney.
Okay. Or will you be talking about Mary Berry?
Oh, man, I love Mary Berry.
Well, will you love her after you... Have you heard what she said this week?
No, tell me. Is it about her bolognese sauce, that stuff?
Not about her bolognese of white wine.
I actually use red wine.
Yep. She also uses cream.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
Unbelievable.
Now, she has gone for someone this week, and I'm a bit surprised that she's come for her.
Come on, tell me more.
So, other than Mary Berry, who would you say is kind of like the lead female chef in the UK?
Ooh, that's toughy, actually. From
famous
old school,
for famous
old
for 40 school. Years.
Oh, Delia Smith.
Delia Smith, exactly.
Sports Norwich.
City. She does support
she
Norwich.
She swears. I'd sit next to her when Norwich were playing Ipswich. She swears like a trooper.
What is it she said that time when she got up on the... Come on.
Don't give it fucking to him or something, did she?
Well, this week, Mary Berry in an interview. This is a bit of a shock to me. You know, Placid Mary Berry, 83 years old.
Yeah, she wouldn't hurt a fly.
Lovely. She thinks she has the advantage over Delia Smith because she has children. And
ooh.
Delia doesn't have any kids.
Oh, that's a cruel low blow.
Now, is that what you think?
I do, actually.
Why is that?
Because that's rather unfair. She doesn't know the circumstances. Delia might not be able to have children. It might be a very sore subject. To bring that into an argument or a, an, you know, you wouldn't. You don't mention that. I don't think that's fair. And I think it's very unfair. Someone did that to Theresa May, and I felt the same.
Actually, that was what I was going to bring up. So I remember in the Conservative leadership race, Andrea Leadsom said this, exactly the same thing about Theresa May. The advantage was she had, Andrea said she had children, and that meant she was invested in the future of the country. Do you think that having children automatically gives you an advantage over people that doesn't, that don't?
Look, I mean, yeah, but no. Look, I'm a mum. Very luckily, I'm a mum, and it's my world, and I'm so lucky. I've got two healthy boys, but I don't think that's quite fair because other people have other experiences, and they have other experience with children. I've got children. My friend's got nine goddaughters that are always at our house, going mad. And then you can say to me,
nephews.
I don't have girls, so what do I know about girly things, you know? And I know everything. So I don't think that's very fair.
Right.
I think that's rather cruel, actually.
Really? Because I actually read afterwards things that Delia had said about having children. And Delia had said, well, it's just not something that had happened for her and her husband. Didn't explain anything as to the reason why. But she did also say that maybe her career would not have been as successful as it was if she'd have had children. These are like things you can never tell, you know. But interesting thought, right?
I think, I can't believe, did she really honestly say that?
Yeah, she did, yeah. Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I think that's really mean. And I think she'll regret saying it. I think it's hurtful. And I bet Delia's swearing like a trooper about it, let me tell you. She does
that
not
fucking
retire.
Mary.
That Mary, Mary.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. She's never coming to Norwich City. Don't let her in.
Well, we're never going to see her on our TV anymore anyway, because we've got Prue Leith replacing her on Bake Off.
Can't wait for that one. What? Who the hell is that person?
This just broke before the show last week. So me and Kate, who was your replacement last week, we were talking about how what we thought about Prue Leith and Noel Fielding.
I mean, what a combo.
You know that when Bake Off's off, it's all I want to talk about.
Oh.
It may be different this year.
Darling, I hope it is different because I'm not switching that on.
Really?
Who is Prue at the end of the day? Prue, who are you?
She's from Great British Menu.
When is that on? At 3 a.m.
5:30 on
TLC somewhere or whatever at 3 a.m. in the morning. I don't know who Prue is. Come off it. Give us a real proper chef. Give us someone we go, ooh.
Now, she is a chef. She might not be as famous as Mary Berry. But remember that before Bake Off, Mary Berry was kind of in the doldrums. She was famous in the '70s.
But Mary Berry's great, old school. She's got something special about her. You know, it grabbed us, didn't it? It worked with Paul Hollywood. It was the chemistry between them both.
Mm-hmm.
This chemistry between these guys, what's that going to be like? His outfits to start with. It's not a good look. He looks like he hasn't slept. He looks like a vampire.
I think that's what they're after, though, aren't they? They're after the combination of... So it'll be him and Sandy Toksvig will be the presenters. They're after that clash.
Weird. No, it's not a good combo for
me. Did you put yourself forward?
I didn't. In fact, I'm a very good cook. You'd be surprised.
You make a lovely pair of buns.
Did you not see me in my chef's outfit the other day, in my pinny?
I did, actually, Lizzie. Oh. Well, actually, I saw your side boob.
I didn't mean for that to happen.
You didn't? Hold on
a
second. No,
I put the pinny on and I asked for a bigger one and they didn't have one because it wouldn't fit
around. So you thought, well, I'll do it anyway.
Well, it is a little restaurant of mine. Chai Kitchen, you must go. It's fantastic food.
I will.
Just off Wigmore Street.
Maybe I just want to see you just wear one of those hats.
Little hats. They were so cute. Did you not like it?
You were quite revealed. There was a lot on show.
Possibly too much.
For a kitchen.
I hid it from my boys, let's say that much. But I'm quite upset with Mary saying that.
Really?
Yes. And I feel sorry for Delia. And we don't know the circumstances why Delia's chosen not to have children or if she can't have children. But I think it's a dig. It's a cruel dig.
Interesting.
She knifed
her. Your take on it. She knifed her in the back.
With a cheese knife.
Berry versus
Nasty.
Smith.
Nasty. Cheese knife. Yeah, someone at my party when I was younger did actually stab someone with a cheese knife. My mum had brought cheese out.
Are you joking?
No. My mum did let me have the house to myself with party. My mum brought cheeses out.
Cute.
Nice cheeses for
Lovely.
Everyone.
That's what you want.
And then some boys tried to get another boy with a cheese knife. Got me in most trouble. See?
Lizzie, is this true?
It is true. Yeah, be careful of a Tuesday.
You need to stop hanging around with such people that would...
Well, we were nice boys from private school. I was only
clearly
young.
Not. Clearly not.
Anyway.
Should I play a little song?
I'll save it for my book.
Good, I can't wait to read it. Just like
the cheese knife.
Will it be called the joy of tiny knickers as opposed to Kate Garraway's The Joy of Big Knickers?
I know, I love Kate.
The joy of going braless by Lizzie Cundy.
Yes, maybe. Well, I'll think on the title. Actually, please tweet in titles for my new book.
Oh, I would like to see some of your fans' suggestions for that because they've already suggested this week that we get you a whip to wear for Dare to Wear, which we can't do this week.
I love a whip.
Which we can't do this week.
I like pain. So I'm gonna enjoy the whip. I have got a really high pain threshold though. Do you know that?
Good.
I don't feel pain. I'm a very lucky girl. Anyway, moving
get
on.
Get your nipples pierced.
No, I'm not doing that, darling. darling, quick track, we've got another guest in.
Got our final guest. Woo! Jonglea. Shall we have a little bit of boy zone? How
yes,
do you feel
please.
About that?
I love a bit of boy zone. When the gone gets tough, the tough get going on.
Loved it. And now we've got our final guest in the studio.
Oh,
John Galea.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good, good.
Nice and close
you.
To the mic. I appreciate you following my rules.
Jewelry no boys, done this before, haven't you? I can tell.
I can tell,
darling.
You were just telling us you've been onto the Harriet Roadshow before and you had to drag a piano up the stairs.
I did. It was fun. It was fun. Bit of workout.
We didn't ask you to do that.
No, I did it myself. All self-inflicted. That's what it was.
But John, well done, because it's all happening for you, isn't it?
Yeah, busy time.
So can you tell our listeners what's going on in your life? Because it's quite exciting.
Yeah, well, I recently released a new EP, my fourth EP called Missing Pages, and did a video with the amazing Gemma Oton, the actress from Emmerdale. She was in it. And then I'm just getting ready to go on tour, which will be fun, supporting Boys Life.
Yeah.
So all fun and games.
So for those that don't know, Boys Life is an amalgamation, yeah. I guess you can call it that.
I think so.
yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Of Boyzone and Westlife, featuring Brian McFadden of Westlife and Keith Duffy of Boyzone.
Indeed.
It's a little mix.
It is.
Well,
it's not little mix.
It's not little mix. No, we're not letting little mix. They've got enough. They're doing well enough on their own. Yeah. Oh, how amazing.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
So how did that come together? Because I know other bands have done this, haven't they, where they've collaborated?
Yeah, well, support. So it's kind of before they get on, I do the warm-up act, which is great. And it's sold out, so I'm a little bit nervous, to be fair.
Has it sold out?
Apparently so. Wow. So
very
I'm a little bit worried, but it'll be all right. It'll be fine, I'm sure.
Will you be doing any Boyzone Westlife covers?
Oh, I will be doing a few covers, but I won't tell you right now. You have to come to see.
Okay.
Oh, we must go.
I don't know if I can cope with all the screaming females. It might be a bit much for me.
Well, I wonder, the fans will have grown up with them. I'm sure they're not going to be little tiny totters.
That's true. I went to a Safe Ellis Bex gig and everyone was over 30. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And, you know, like, it was all over 30s gay men.
Well, I went to Adam and the Ants and that was all over 70. I was like, bloody hell, where was the punk days? Everyone was like, I couldn't believe it.
Do you have any expectations of what the crowd is going to be like? Are you a bit nervous?
Not really. Whatever comes.
Just hope Nicker's on the stage and all that kind of...
maybe.
It might be good.
You never know.
But John, when did you know you could sing? Because I have a theory anyone can sing if
yeah,
they...
Yeah, no, it's true.
Is that true?
I think so, I believe. Everyone's got a voice in there somewhere. It's just a case of toning it and getting it ready. For me, luckily, my dad brought home an electric organ when I was 13, just randomly, as you do. And it's an electric organ. So I started plonking away on the keys and then got classical lessons and all developed from there, really, and got into songwriting, which was my main passion, and learned how to write a song, studied other people, and went from there, really.
Wow. And did you go to singing lessons?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
is that important? How to breathe?
It helps.
And do all of that. You have to breathe. It's good to breathe.
It's true. It helps.
In, out.
But you have to use your diaphragm.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Absolutely.
I don't even know where mine is.
It's under that hairy...
hairy belly.
So I had them and music lessons and all that, and just started gigging and stuff. Moved to London from Great Yarmouth, which was where I was originally born, and just started gigging about, really, and writing with different people and collabing and making tracks.
You've worked with some amazing names.
Yeah, I've been very lucky, especially on the last EP. I've been very fortunate to work with some amazing artists. So.
Can you name them?
Yeah, Frank Music. Yeah, he's an amazing. Yeah, he
incredible.
wrote two tracks on the last EP.
And he's very handsome.
You'll love that. And the Monarch, if you've heard of them, the production team, they did Meet Aurora.
Yeah.
And I was in New York, finished off the EP, and Dark Child was there. And he gave some tips on the EP. So
that's
I've been very fortunate.
But good. You have the talent, you see. They know you've got the talent. You've got that
fingers
voice.
Crossed, yeah.
And you're going to have to get used to all these girl fans now.
Yeah.
At this concert.
Screaming. Yeah.
Throwing their pants on. I mean, is it something you'd want to do, is to go on to the reality show? Have you ever thought of the X Factor or the Voice or these popular shows?
Yeah, the opportunities have come about. At the moment, I just haven't done them at the moment. It's like a never say never thing. It's just at the moment, I've been so working with other people and focusing on the songwriting and the singing, to be fair, independently. And then, I don't know, like I said, never say never, but at the moment, no.
Well, it's really hard, right? I mean, like, starting out in the music industry, you know, is tough. There's really no two ways about it. Like,
absolutely.
Is this something that that you've been dealing with? How have you found the music industry?
It's a tough old business. I mean, all businesses are tough when you're trying to start out, but especially the music industry. There's a lot of competition, but at the end of the day, my focus is on the writing and the performing and doing the best I can with that, really, and seeing how far. And like I said, I've been very lucky to work with the people I have. So, yeah, taking every day as it comes, but it can be difficult. You know, rejections are in every part of business.
Yeah,
that's
why. Does it make you stronger? Oh, sorry, there's Simon Cowell.
it does. Yeah.
Does it make you stronger in a way? Because with these rejections, though it's heartbreaking at the time, do you think, you know what, I'll bounce back, or that was for a reason, something good then is better?
Absolutely. Something else turns up and you're in a different situation, another opportunity. So no, you have to think on the positive of everything, to be fair.
Yeah, you are very positive. Every time I see you, you're very smiley, positive person, which is fantastic.
Do you watch the reality shows? What do you make of those people that have gone from 0 to 100 in
Back down again. Some are but there's no doubt about it. They find talent. I mean, there's some amazing names out there. You can't argue with Little Mix, Leona Lewis. They're amazing artists. There are the other people who aren't, but at the end of the day, they offer something different. They offer personality. It's different. The music industry is very different to reality TV. So
do you feel though in music you have to have it all now? You have to have the personality as well as the good voice, and as well as the looks and the image and all these things. Do you feel that's what it's like these days? That's why it's so tough in a way.
It all helps. If you've got the whole package, it does help getting you out there even more. But you just put the hard work in for the rest of it if you can, especially if you're independent and, you know, getting your name out there. You know, there's a lot of stuff. You've got to put your own hard work into it, to be fair. Get out and do
and
the gigs.
And your songwriter, which is incredible.
Yeah, I love it. I find it a form of therapy, to be fair. And a lot of my tracks are based on personal life, so.
And how do you start off? Because I heard a story that Paul McCartney wrote yesterday by, he had scrambled eggs in his head. Yeah. He got scrambled eggs and he wrote it down. And that's how what's your tips for songwriting, if anyone's listening?
No, it's study the greats, if you can. Yes. You know, people like Diane Warren, Max Martin, in my opinion, you know, they're hit makers and there's a reason why they are, you know, and I did that when I was younger, learning how to put a song together, a structure. Honesty is very important as well. Try to bring yourself to, as a writer, to the plate. I think that they're all tips to help, to be fair. And just keep it current as much as you can, but make it more about you, you know, unless you're writing for another person and you have to put another head on.
You mentioned Diane Warren there. Yeah. Who are your inspirations? I imagine she's pretty high up there.
Well, musically, loads of people. I mean, all day, like Luther Vandross and Mariah Carey, real soul people, but write as well and produce that you don't think they do. And then writers, you know, Greg Kirsten, Dr. Luke, you know, loads of people. People are good.
Yeah. Mariah, I don't know, did you see the other day announcing her new Christmas film?
I'm a huge Mariah Carey fan.
I can't believe it.
Can you believe it? I'm so excited.
Yes, I can.
In March, she announces her new Christmas film based on her own song, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I love her. I think she's
fabulous. Lucky to see her in Vegas. She's amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's amazing.
I got to see Jennifer Lopez. Not quite the same.
Different eyes.
They don't like each other. You know that, those two.
Yeah, they're not fans of one another.
They're not fans. They're not the best friends.
I don't know her.
Yeah, Mariah Carey sang at my friend's wedding. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow. That's been amazing.
Were you there?
Yes.
Wow.
Brill.
Of course.
I just wanted to check.
Front seat. Of course I was there.
Well, I'm jealous. I want to be there.
Yes, I know. You should have been there. Yeah, it was incredible. She didn't tell anyone and she came out. Everyone was like, "What does it look like?" I was like, "Is that real?" It's really
hard. That must have cost them a pretty penny.
I'm sure it did. I didn't ask, but I'm sure it did. So the future's looking very bright.
Yes, I'm busy.
So, John, where can we go and see you? Are the dates and everything up?
Yes, they're all up on the websites and stuff, doing the Boys Lifetime tour and then doing London Gay Pride as well, which would be fantastic.
Oh, I'll be there.
Yep, so see you there, hopefully there.
I'll be there.
I'll be there drunk in short shorts.
He'll have his shorts and his socks on.
I will, correct.
And a can of beer.
Correct, and a can of beer. How did you know, Lizzie?
Because I know you so well. Yes.
Looking forward to that. And I'm probably releasing another single as well. So another video will be coming out. I'm thinking about releasing the Frank Music track we did together. So, it's going to be a busy time.
And are boys life fun to be around? Are they good boys?
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to meeting them because I haven't met them yet. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so you have to see what that's like.
You got your hands
they
full.
Like oh, Lord. They like a drink, those two, I have to say. They came into the OK office a couple of weeks ago. Definitely had a couple of bevvies the night before.
Oh, okay.
Same here. Yeah, well, I interviewed him. I don't think he will ever remember. I think he had one eye open and one eye shut. He was trying to focus like...
They enjoy life, those
they
boys.
They do.
Well, that's what it's all about. Yeah, half Irish.
Same here.
Everyone's a little bit half Irish.
I'm not.
Oh.
Sorry.
But you're Welsh.
I'm 100% English. Oh. Quite boring.
I swear you've got some Wales in you.
No.
Possibly. Later. Anyway, well, Joy, I'm very excited. I'm so excited about your career and all you're doing. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much for coming in. We've actually got your track to play now. When You Truly Love Someone.
Yeah, it's the first song taken from the fourth EP, Missing Pages.
Fantastic. Thank you, John.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, exciting.
Yes.
When you truly love someone, oh, it cuts deep like a knife. One minute you love that one, the next you're fighting to survive. No one is good enough, no other girl, no other boy. Like a chronic deep heartache you never escape, and keeps knocking at your door when you truly love someone. No one else seems to matter, you truly love someone. Just tears your soul in two. Like a chronic deep heartache you never escape, that gets way out of control. Your sky's filled with bright stars. Within a blink of an eye, darkness consumes all of your mind. You've got nowhere left to run. All of your good friends have upped and gone. Riding a wild roller coaster that seems so bipolar. The warning signs are gone when you truly love someone.
This year's festival is taking place from the 27th to the 30th of July, with a lineup which includes
Orbital, Clean Bandit, Slaves,
Akala,
Nadia Rose,
as well as DJ sets from
Mike Skinner and Merkage, Joe Goddard from Hot Chip,
and Faithless. FUBAR Radio will be bringing the hottest stand-up talent to the brand new comedy stage, featuring James Acaster. For more information and to buy tickets, go to www.standandcalling.com and keep listening to FUBAR Radio for exclusive offers and giveaways in the lead-up to this summer's big event. FUBAR Radio, an official partner of Stand and Calling.
Oh man, it's just my best, like, most favourite song of all time. And Lizzie isn't here to share it with me because once again, she's abandoned me to go to a party. It's not the first time, it won't be the last time, I'm sure, but she's going to the Mayfair Hotel to open some fabulous thing, blah, blah, blah. So I just wanted to say thank you to all our guests tonight. Thank you to John Galea, who is, I believe, still in the production studio enjoying a glass of wine. Thank you to Karen Danzak and to Kate Garraway on the phone. Next week, we have a pretty stellar show with X Factor girl group from 2015, Alien Uncovered, in the studio. And we also have Love Island's Marlin Anderson, who is well known for speaking her mind, and she's not shy of an opinion or two. So killer show next week, hoping to get Claire from Steps 2, but that's up to Lizzie, you know, she decides these things. So thank you for listening. I'm going to end with some classics right now. Have a good week, stay safe out there, and good night.
I don't know why I like it. I just do. You.
Radio.
Presents Harriet
Rose. I'm being joined by the Manor, who've just dropped their EP Weekdays Strong Night. I mean, you did O2 Academy Islington, and you broke the record for the most amount of beer.